singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands to the God. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Years and years ago, we might have just said that and been saying it, but not anymore, you know, because to say you love somebody, you have to know how much they mean to you. And I was giving that little example the other day, trying to show how that God was omniscient and omnipresent. And I went in there the other morning to get my socks out of the drawer in the morning. When I pulled it out, I thought about that. Every one of them socks balled up in there said, I love you. And when we look in this message and we see what he done for us, it just says, I love you over and over and over. We don't see a liar and a thief as the world tries to make him out to be. We don't see a soothsayer as they try to make him out to be. We see somebody who knew God, and because he knew God, we could know God. Yes. Amen. And we are thankful so much for this message. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word, Lord. Every time we pick it up and read it, Lord, it does something to our hearts. Lord, when we read, Lord, that those words are you in another form, how precious they are, Lord, to us. But Lord, when they become living in our hearts, how they are living out to others, Lord, how they are the vindication and the testimony, Lord, the interpretation of you in this hour, not because we're anybody big and special, Lord, but because you decided that you would draw us and that you would live in us. Father, that we are thankful for, and we will never stop being thankful. And Lord, we could never get it expressed. And Father, we pray you'll help us the message tonight and feed us. Lord, we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right. So I promise I don't have near as many quotes as I had on Sunday. But just to think about it a minute before we start into this part, we're going to go into Who's This Melchizedek and start looking at what he talked about, the theophany, and how we come around the theophany, why we come around the theophany, and by coming around the theophany, what that meant. And I'm not so sure that everybody in the message realizes what this means. And if they do, then I appreciate their prayers, because I finally have got there. So, but I think there's a whole lot that are missing, so many things in this message, because it's not important to them. Everything else in the world's important to them, but he's not important to them. You know, you can't pick up the Bible and read the Bible and not see God's children in the Bible. It was important to them. It was their life. And so it was the thing that was driving them. It was the thing that they wanted more than anything. And you see people today that claim to be Christians or whatever they claim to be. But then that's all they do is claim. And we know that we'd be right there with them if God had not drawn us to him. If he had not drawn us to his son, to as many as the Father gave to the, as the Father gave to the Son, they will come. And they have to. They will be drawn to. And so, as Christians, we need to be that instrument of God's manifested word, so that we can be that instrument he draws with. Because it was that instrument, Christ, that walked down there to that well that day. And that's the one that did the drawing. She come down to draw from the well that day, but it wasn't that well that she drew from. He drew, give it to her. And it's that way in every part of the Bible, with every revelation. So let's look at this. And we've talked about how that God, through Christ, was going to be our overcomer. We talked about that. And we talked about that God is the one who has to interpret his word, always and forever. And we talked about how that the Bible is the book that was sealed. Brother Graham said it was that book was the one that was a foretold witness of Jesus Christ, the Bible. And it was bound up. And that was our inheritance. God was going to buy our inheritance for us through Jesus Christ. That was the revelation of it. And so we know that all this time he's been revealing that book. Brother Ram said in Christ the mystery of God revealed, that way back there it was in his mind, in the back part of his mind. He said he had a secret and a purpose. And that was the secret. That was the purpose. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. There's no way around it. There's no God without Christ. No Christ without God. And so, as we look at that and we realize that the seed was Christ, and that we're a part of that seed, we realize we can't be manifested without Christ being manifested. It's not possible. And we have approached that from an angle or two already. And tonight we're going to go at another. Go look at it from another thing that Brother Branham said in here. And so let's keep those things in mind as he begins to talk about the attributes that were in his mind. You were there in his attributes. You don't remember it. No. Because you're just a part of his life. You are part of God when you become a son or a daughter of God. Now listen to that statement. You're one of his attributes. Brother Ram said there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And he just got through saying You're one of his attributes. You don't remember it now, no, because you're just a part of his life. You're a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. Now, he just said, I was a part of God. And then he turns around and says, you're a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. Now, what is he talking about? Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, he's talking about the expression. Okay? Because you were in God's thought. Brother Bram said that God never had a new thought. He was always there. There was never a time that you weren't there as that part of God's life. There was never a time. And so he's not talking about you're a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. He's talking about the expression at this point. Because when he expressed the word, then he's going to manifest that word. And that manifestation is where the problem started. Isn't that right? That's where it started. We saw that in the garden. When the manifestation come on, that's where the problem started. You are a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. Just as you are a part of your earthly father. That's right. See how you become one? Because you're a part of, like you are with your earthly father. That's right. Now let's listen to him explain it. You are, the male carries the hemoglobin, the blood. Now he goes right into explaining how birth is happening. When he said that about you becoming, you're a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. Or you become a son or daughter of God. You become a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. And just as you're a part of your earthly father, that's right, you are. The male carries the hemoglobin, the blood. And when that has gone in the egg, the male part has went into the egg part, then you become a part of your father. Now, you was always a part of your father. So what is he talking about? It's the manifestation. He's always talking about the manifestation. That's where people get all messed up and go all around and stuff. And when that was gone in the egg, then you become a part of your father. Your mother is a part of your father also. So you're all a part of your father. Now, you remember that quote we read this last time at the very end of the service? I'm going to read it again here in just a minute. Glory. That lets the denomination out altogether. Now, how did he hop over to the denomination all of a sudden? He's talking about you becoming a part of your father. So, and where does all denominations come from? Man's idea. Man doing this, man doing that, man's religion, man's covering. That's where it all comes from. And so that's what he's talking about right there. And he goes, dread over. When he bring that, that made him happy. Glory, he said. That lets the denomination out altogether. Certainly does. God in all, the only place. Notice now his attribute. He's going back to the attribute again to start back from there. Then the attribute was first God, the thought. The attribute itself, all in one, without being expressed. So it hadn't been expressed yet. It was just the attribute, just his life in him, as he said a while ago. Then, when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. Because Brother Ram said back in the beginning, back before he said he was not even God yet, he wasn't Father yet. It was in him to be Father. And he wasn't Son yet. It was in him to be Son. And so when he manifested him as Son, then he was Father. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So when he expressed himself as the Word, there was no problem with the Word either. We read that last time, that dual meaning of Logos. Remember what we read there in the Church Ages book? If you don't remember that, go back. I don't know if he said dual or if he said double. I think he said double meaning. But it's there in the Church Ages book. It meant both essence and word. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. St. John, the first chapter of the first verse, notice, this is in the beginning, but before the eternal. So he's talking about in the beginning, but before was the eternal. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. When time began, it was the Word. See, when he fleshed out the Word, time had began. Because why? He was expressing down. Remember we talked about a while ago, when he gets to where he's going, time's over. But as he's going into that, and you know, we're going to listen to this a little closer. When the time began, it was Word. But before it was Word, it was attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. Now, we're getting where Melchizedek is. We're getting, as God is doing this expressing, we're getting down to this man that was standing there in front of Abraham. That's the mysterious person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Hold that there, notice. Now he's pointing it out. When he was the Word, he wasn't the flesh. See, he's pointing that out. It was God's attribute, and then it was the Word, and then it became flesh. So he's pointing that out. And when the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, hold that there, notice. The Word become flesh. His first being was Spirit, God, supernatural, all right, the great eternal. Second, he began to form himself towards flesh. Look at the word he's using. He began to form himself towards flesh. What did he say when we mentioned in this last service? We talked about that he thought of himself as being man, and it translated him down to be Jesus Christ. He's talking about the same thing right here. He's just talking about it different. God supernatural, all right. The great eternal. Second, he began to form himself towards flesh in a theophany. It's called the Word, a body. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham. It was called Melchizedek. Now, here's a flesh man that walked up to Brother Abraham, and Brother Branham is saying, this is Melchizedek. This man had theophany, and Brother Branham said one time he just blew dust, and he theophany just stepped right into that. Abraham was called Melchizedek. Where he met Abraham was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of the theophany. Now, we'll go to that and prove it in a few minutes. We'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes. The Lord willing, he was the Word. Melchizedek was the Word. Remember what Brother Ram said? I mean, Brother Holmes preached that series, Elohim, Melchizedek. That's what Abraham called him, Elohim. He was Elohim materializing. The Word materializing. He was the Word. A theophany is something that you could not see, that you could not see. It could be right here now, yet you cannot see it. It's just like, and he's going to give me an example of what he just talked about. It's just like, well, like television. That's in another dimension. Television, people are moving right through this room now, singing. There is colors also. But the eye is only subject to the five senses. Your whole being is only subject to five senses, rather. And you are only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. But there is another dimension that can be seen by a transformation. You got to be tuned in to this other that's already there. But there is another dimension that can be seen by transformation by television. I'm going to explain it a little bit more. Television does not manufacture a picture. A television only channels it into the circuit, and then the television screen picks it up. But the picture is there to begin with. Sure, he said it was passing through the room all the time. Television was here when Adam was here. Television was here when Elijah sat on Mount Carmel. Television was here when Jesus of Nazareth walked the shores of Galilee. But you're just now discovering it. Now think about the spiritual part he's talking about. How many times has he talked about these seals being open? This being a new book now that the seals are open. And talking about all these things that are going on. But you're just now discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back there. You'd have been crazy to have said something like that. But now it's become a reality. And so is it that Christ is here. The angels of God are here. And someday in the great millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. He reveals himself in his great form of what he claimed. So he claimed something, now he's showing himself. He reveals himself in his great form of what he claimed. You know, this mask that he's put on. So that people can know him and see him. They knew him as Moses during that time. They knew him as the pillar of fire back there. Abraham knew him as Melchizedek walking up to him, the mask. So he's revealing himself in this great form of what he claimed. So he's showing in these forms what he claimed to be. As he morphs himself into his servants and proves himself. He morphs himself. If you go look that word up, it's an expression of an essence. That's what they say. But Brother Branham said it's a mask. It's him making himself known in a, like playing in a play. We read that this last time. Into his servants and proves himself. So he is somehow or another, not only was he Melchizedek who walked up to Abraham, but now he's talking about, since Abraham, he's coming in these prophets and speaking to the people. He's making himself known in the people. Here he is in the form of spirit. And then he comes in the form in Morphe. So here he is back before the foundation. I think he had a board up there and he was drawing on it. And he was showing the attributes and the thoughts. And then he comes in a form, an in Morphe. He appeared to Abraham in Morphe. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But then when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings, here come Melchizedek, talk to him. Now God in this stage of Melchizedek, it's this stage of his creation. Now don't miss that. Whose creation? God's. It's this stage of his creation. So God is creating himself, making himself known. Later formed into flesh, Jesus. From what? From the great beginning, spirit, then came down to be the word, bringing itself out. So he's got to bring himself out. It's the same thing as he talked about that book, the secret that he had in the back of his mind, the sealed book, the Bible that's a foretold witness, and all these different things. It's all the same thing. And this is him doing it. This is him bringing those words to pass. From what? From the great beginning spirit, then come down to be the word, bringing itself out. The great eternal spirit bringing itself out as it come down to be the word. The word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out. Now we're going to hit into that a lot more in the transformation. But just keep listening. The word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out in Morpha. Later, he becomes flesh. Jesus, mortal, to taste death for all of us sinners. Amen. When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith, And we talked about that a couple services ago, I think. The faith, God, Son of God, Son of the faith, will absolutely do the same thing. What will we do? What did he say? We come from the great spirit down to word and then manifest in flesh. That's what he said Jesus done. And so he said, with Melchizedek here, showing this middle, what was happening there before Jesus, he's showing, Brother Bram says, he's unfolding here what all the attributes will do in the final end, every son of Abraham. Now, he just said that was a stage of creation, did he not, a while ago? Okay, and he says, we're going to have to go through that stage of creation too. Or have we already went through it? Let's see what the prophet said. Every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. But I want to watch how we have to come. We're going to do the same thing, but watch how we come. Also, we see him revealed here in Ruth and Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. How he had to come to be flesh. See, he's saying that in that type there, it showed that on down he was going to have to be flesh. Now we see the attribute, sons of his spirit, have not yet entered into the word form body. I thought he just said we was in Christ. He did, didn't he? Didn't he say that we were in the thought and that when he spoke, we were in that? Now, I read you the quote, I think this last service, that when he spoke out the word, we were in that word. And then he said when Christ went to the cross, we was in there in him then. So what is he talking about? How have we never entered into the word form body? Again, he's talking about the expression. He's talking about God being the thought, God being the word, and then God manifesting that word. There's where everything took place there that we all get worked up about and get all confused about sometimes. Now we see the attribute sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body, but a theophany. This body is subject. So you see, he's comparing it. He's comparing the word form body to this one that we're in. But at theophany, this body is subject to the word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. So this thing is not the word form body, right? And it says that we have never entered into that word form body. Ever. None of us. Ever. Not Adam, because we know Adam wasn't in his theophany. And you're going to find out that being in his theophany means the word is manifested. So I'm going to let Brother Ram say it. But a theophany, this body is subject to the word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now, the difference between you and him, between him and you as a son, see, he was at the beginning the word, an immorphed body. So he was in that body. Okay? And it's not just a body. We're going to find that out here in just a minute. It's not just, oh, it's a theophany. And we'll have a theophany one day. That's good. No, it means more than just that. Now, the difference between him and you as a son, see, he was at the beginning the word, an immorphed body. He came in, lived in that, in the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he become Jesus Christ. Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. And what was Jesus Christ? The Word made manifest. What was Melchizedek? The Word, theophany. Because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that. You come around that stage of creation. Is that what he said it was? A stage of creation? That every son of God has to come? A stage of creation that every son of God has to come. You went around that, he said. Because in that form, he knowed all things. So you get that. If we'd have been in that form, we'd have known all things. So we had to go around knowing all things. And not only was it just a body, it was not knowing all things in a stage of creation. So keep listening. Now, you bypass that, because in that form, he knowed all things, and you have never been able to know that yet. How do we know anything? By revelation. So God had not done in us or Adam what he done in Jesus. This is plain and simple. There's no way other way to read about it. In that form, he knowed all things. We didn't know all things. He came through that stage of creation. We did not come through that stage of creation. I want to keep saying that, okay? I'm not being a smart aleck or know-it-all, but those are the things that the Lord showed me when I was studying. And so I won't try to show you the same thing. I mean, that's all I can do, see, is point out what he showed me. Because in that form, he knowed all things, and you have never been able to know that yet. But I thought I was the Word. I was, wasn't I? I was the Word. I was part of God in the beginning. And when he spoke Logos out, I was in him then. So what does he keep talking about that we haven't been that yet? He's talking about the manifestation of it. That's what he's talking about. You come like Adam, like me. You became from the attribute to the flesh. We skipped that creation step. Adam did too. He missed it. You become from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the Word. Then we can look back and see what we done. Because when we get to the theophany, we're going to know all things. We're going to see how God bumped us this way, and bumped us that way, bumped us this way, until we got where we were going. Then we can look back and see what we done. Now we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We have never become the Word. Can it be any more clearer? Okay. This expression has never become the Word. He said Adam went around it too, right? Okay. I'm not saying anything more. I shouldn't have to say anything more. The prophet's done said it. We've just become the flesh man. Not the Word. Now, this doesn't argue with anything else Brother Branham said. Nothing. It doesn't argue with anything else Brother Branham said. It goes right with it. We're just become the flesh man, not the Word. But, and look, clearly makes it clear, you will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. That proves the predestination of God, see? You can't be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be a thought first. So you can't be the Word unless that happens. You had to be in the thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. Now you see why Brother Branham, when the seals came open, he used to say Adam was in the theophany, and then after the seals, he doesn't say that. He wasn't in the theophany. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to bypass a stage of creation in order to stand temptation. And isn't that what we've been talking about for a while now? You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then, if you stand, all the Father hath given me will come to me. So you had to come down here and be tempted of sin. Now, who was going to prove if you had the word in you or not? God. Because God put the word in you. He's going to come and prove that he put the word in you. He's going to prove that it will stand against Satan. All the Father hath given me will come to me. Brother Branham said that when they fell in the garden, that questioned whether God's word was true or not. When they fell, he questioned it. Because there was nobody. He questioned that, was it true? Because nobody had proved it. He questioned it. And I'll raise him up. So God all the time had the prover coming. I'll raise him up at the last days. See, you had to be first. The thought. You had to be that thought first. And then you see, he come right down the regular line. He's talking about Jesus again. And he's talking about the stages of creation. Then you see, he come right down the regular line from attribute before the foundation of the world. His name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he become the Word, the Theophany, that could appear and disappear. And then he become flesh and return back again, resurrected, that same body in a glorified condition. Man. So when he died, Brother Branham said he took his theophany that he had before he became flesh. And he took that theophany, went back and went down into the souls in hell and preached there. And when he rose up, he raised that body up with him. Glorified. The body was glorified. But you bypass the theophany. Now, what did he do? Now, think about it. Now, there's plenty of stuff in there in the quotes, and I can go get them sometime and bring them. But he talked about how that Jesus took them 16 elements of the earth, which were his body, and he redeemed that piece of flesh. He redeemed us all. But he caused that flesh to walk perfect before God. Even though it was full of sin. It wasn't sinful, but it was death. It was dying. It was sick. It was hurting. It could suffer. I mean, it was going to die. And then the flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Now, you remember what he said a while ago about us having to come a certain way. He said we all had to come like Jesus because he showed the way he was coming. He had to come the thought, and then the word, and then the manifestation. So he's going to talk about that now. The immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh. They don't walk after the flesh no more. There's something there to hold them like they're supposed to be. But after the Spirit, there you are. See, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. If I could just get in Christ and it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's subject. It's doing what it's told. Brother Bram said, it isn't something you got to, oh, if I could just quit drinking. It's not. Brother Bram said it's automatic. Remember I read you all that quote a few while back? It's just see if it's automatically lived out. It's no more subject to the things of the world, they're dead. It's not subject to those things and the whims and the emotion and everything else that it wants to pull you around on. You're not subject to that anymore. They are dead. Your sins are buried in the baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. A new creation. and your body becoming subject to the Spirit. Try to live a right kind of life. Now, I put a little note in here, and I want you to stop and ask yourself when the saints went into their theophany. Up until Jesus died, they were in paradise. But you can go read in several different messages when they come out and went up into this the sixth dimension. The stage of creation is stop and ask yourself when the saints went into their theophany. The stage of creation that you and I and Adam went around. So ask yourself when they went into it. Why did they have to not, why could they not go into it until that, then Jesus had died in the resurrection? You couldn't go into that word, body, until he died and paid the price. Like you women claiming you got Holy Ghost and going out here and wearing shorts and things. How could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? Sounds like that Spirit of God is in control. It ain't struggling, as Brother Bram said. It's not struggling. It just lives out. Like the dove. We saw the little dove out here on the building this morning. I saw two or three out here the other day. But Brother Bram said they cleaned themselves from the inside out. It just can't be so. Certainly, it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a holy spirit. And when you become subject to that spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that spirit. Now, what is that spirit he's talking about? That spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest, quickened, hallelujah, made alive. Is that new creation he was talking about? Now, when did that happen exactly? Let's listen to see when he said that happened. And when the Bible said, don't do this, the body quickly turns to it. There's no question. What is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. The body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption. Now, see what he was talking about in the very beginning, talking about when you become a son and daughter of God. When we're born into this world, that other Chris, that other Michael, that other whoever is down in there. But you're not acting like a son or daughter of God. You're born into this world not acting like one at all. And when he said you become one, it's when the world sees you start acting like one. It doesn't mean that you all of a sudden became one, because we know you were always one, okay? But it's both. It's talking about the manifestation, because that manifestation that was coming forth was not the manifestation of God. It was everything but that. Running around, drinking, smoking, whatever, committing adultery. It's just, that's not God. Brother Bram said, that spirit in there was producing that, and this spirit produces something else. So that was there all the time, God comes and makes it alive. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption. Sorry, I start thinking about it. You ever been? You know what it is to be subject to it and be free of it. Makes you happy. But now it's not the earnest. It's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. That new birth, that new creation, that spirit, that life is the earnest. Now I went back and got this quote because I wanted to show you it's exactly what we read in the rapture the other night. What did he say this spirit was? He said it was nothing more. Hang on, let me back up. The spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened. Yeah? Predestination. Predestinated seed, quickened. Made alive. A new creation. All right. Then how do we get into the body? This is in the rapture message. 1 Corinthians, by one spirit, we're all baptized into this body. By one Holy Spirit baptism. That, if you want to put that down, it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized. And the Spirit is the life of Christ. Is that right? The life of Christ. What did he just say? That seed word quickened. The life of Christ and the life of any seed, which he was the word seed, brings the seed to life. You get it? If that life is laying in that seed, the life in that seed that's supposed to be a son or daughter of God, if that's laying down in there, that predestination, then when this Holy Spirit comes on it, he's got to bring it forth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon it, it's bound to bring that seed life. Now, that's exactly what he just said in that other quote. A new creation that throws all this body in subjection. All right, we're going to go back into Melchizedek. We just wanted to drop out for a minute to show you that. A sick person laying, dying, nothing left but death. That's all can happen. I've seen shadows of people done eat up with cancer and tuberculosis and see them persons a little while after that perfectly normal and strong. If there is no divine healing, then there's no resurrection, because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Amen. You know what the earnest money is, don't you? It's the down payment. It's the down payment. Now keep thinking about that. We know that the birth that comes in this day is different than any other birth. We know that this birth is different because it's outside the church ages. And church ages was a period of time, right? Yeah. So some other kind of birth is going to come outside of that. It's going to be an eternal birth. It's the down payment. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes, we're healed. Notice how wonderful. We love him. His body is subject, this body is subject to the Spirit. Have not yet entered into the word form. This body's not entered into the word form yet. But that other spoken word has come to life, eternal. Not this thing, not the spirit, not this body, but the, not this, he's talking about spirit with a capital S there, so just keep that in mind. Have not yet entered into the word form, but we are still in the flesh form, but subject to the word. So by what Christ done, he's come down in the stage that we missed, that stage of creation. Christ has come down, and by anointing that seed, by giving that seed life, he has taken us the other way. It's by Christ that we're going to that theophany. See, it's by Christ that we got this down payment on the theophany. Have not yet entered into the word form, but we are still in the flesh form, but subject to the word. Death in the flesh will take us there. Just the same thing, think of a little baby. You can take a woman, no matter how evil she is, when she is pregnant and fixing to be mother. Watch. Before that baby is born, I don't care how cruel the woman is, she gets real kind. There's something about her. Seems godly to see a little mother fixing to become a mother by the baby. Why is it? That little body now, it's not alive yet. See, the only thing is, it's just flesh and muscles. Where'd the hemoglobin come from? The male. But Brother Bram say the life comes from the male. It's not alive yet. Now he's doing a spiritual type here. It's not alive yet. See, the only thing is, it's just flesh and muscles. That little jumping, that's just muscles jerking. And when it comes forth from the womb, God breathes the breath of life into it. And then he screams out. Just as sure as there is a natural body being formed, there is a spiritual body to receive it as soon as it gets here. And now he just compared what started in us. Now listen to what he says. Now when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spiritual babe in Christ. And then when this robe of flesh is dropped, there is a natural body, theophany, a body not made with hands, neither born of a woman, that we go to. Then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. That's the reason Jesus went to hell when he died and preached to the souls that were in prison, turned back into that theophany. I mentioned that earlier. Oh, marvelous. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5:1, if this earthly body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have another one. See, we have bypassed that. We bypassed it. And the only way to get to it, he said, was for us to be born again. That's what takes us to it. See, we're being born again. See, we have bypassed that to come straight from God, the attribute to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin like Adam did. We come around that. We didn't go through that part. But when the testing of his word is over, so what's it testing? Remember what I said a while ago? It's testing the word in you. Then we're taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It is the word there that we skipped to come around down here to be tempted and tested. So how do we go to our theophany? By Christ, we go to our theophany. And how did Christ come to his theophany? Word. It was Christ. I mean, it was God, the great spirit, thought, attribute, and then word, body, theophany. He just said that. But we come to it by him. You see that? We went around that part of creation, but we go to it through him. It is the word there that we skipped to come around, right around down here to be tempted and tested. If we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. We'd have known all things. If we'd have come through that stage of creation, there would not have been a temptation. We have known all things. You see what he's saying? So you see why they had to come that way. See why Adam had to come the same way. He said it at least 2 or 3 times in here that Adam did too. If we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. We'd have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knowed all things. Because he come through that stage of creation. All things. Because he was the Word before he was flesh. And we wasn't. He said it over and over at least 2 times now that he was the Word before he was flesh. And we weren't. Alright. And he's talking about the manifestation, right? He's not talking about the Logos. He's not talking about the thought. He's talking about that manifestation. That's the only part that could fall. That's the only thing that Satan could pervert. Satan can't pervert God's word. He can't pervert his Logos. He can't pervert his thought. He can't get in God's mind and mess it up. There's none of that. It's the manifestation is where the problem was. Here we are, formed to the word image. Now you think God had it planned that we was going to come to that theophany by Christ, not by directly. Now, what did that say? Did I read it last time before the service? It said it was such that man could not directly come and partake of the tree of life. How come? Because this was the way they was going to take of the tree of life. Now, I'm not belittling Adam. I love Adam. One day I'm going to hug Adam's neck. And Eve too. But we have to say it like the prophet said it. Not get our own ideas about stuff. What did he say? If we got off just a little out here, and then we're way off out there. Here we are formed to the word image. To the me, this just the Godhead understanding just flows out of this. It just flows out and becomes so beautiful and perfect. Here we are formed to the Word image, to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word. Now listen, what did he say the Word was? By the Logos, the Theophany, the one we went around. We're formed to the Word image, to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word by being predestinated since the beginning. We predestinated since the beginning to do this feeding. Since the beginning, you see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey. Many of you can remember it. You joined this church and joined that church and you try this and that and nothing satisfied. That's right. You know, I often wondered how that little sister who had them five or six husbands, how did she catch that about when the prophet would come, when the Messiah would come and what he would do? She had to be somewhere listening to that and have caught it. Maybe when she was a little kid. Who knows when it was. But God put it down in her heart and it was going to be answered. Amen. Nothing satisfied, that's right. But one day you just recognized it, right? The other night, I was teaching somewhere. I think it was in California or Arizona. I believe I told the little story here about the man sitting a hen and had an eagle eggs, had an eagle egg under it. And when that eagle hatched out, he was the funniest looking bird that them chickens ever seen. But he walked around. He was the ugly one among them because he just couldn't understand how that hen would cluck and scratch on that manure pile and eat. He couldn't get the idea. She would say, "Come on over and feast, honey." But he was an eagle. He just didn't eat like that. It wasn't his food. He'd come around something. He'd come around that part. And it was searching for him. The part he'd come around was searching for him. Because it had become flesh and died to pay the price so that we might partake of it. So he would catch grasshoppers and what more, you know, and call. She would catch them and call the little chickens. And all them little chickens would go along, cluck along and eat. But the little eagle just couldn't do it. It didn't look right to him. So one day his mammy came hunting him. The theophany come to find him. I'm going to let him say it here in just a minute. And he would hear that hen cluck. And he'd try his best to cluck, but he couldn't do it. He tried to cheep like a chicken, but he couldn't do it. See, he was an eagle. He, to start with, was an eagle. Back there in God's mind, that's the blueprint. That's the template. It's what it's going to be, that. To start with, he was an eagle. He was just hatched under a hen. That's like some church members. I hope this makes sense, because I want you to catch what he's saying right here. See, he was an eagle to start with. He was an eagle to start with. Way back there in the thought. See, you and I, when we were born into this world, we talk about being redeemed. When was you and I ever perfect? When was we perfect? In God's mind, we were perfect. In God's word, we were perfect. But when in manifestation was we ever perfect? Outside of Jesus Christ, we weren't. And the only way we was going to hear what we needed to hear and know what we needed to know was by Christ. She was an eagle. He was an eagle. He, to start with, he was an eagle. He was just hatched under a hen. That's like some church members. That's about the way it is. About one out of a sitting is right. How many preachers do you think were sitting there? And I'm thinking, well, he's talking about every church. There's one. There's just one come out of that church. About one out of every sitting, says. But one day, his mammy flew over. And she screamed. And he recognized it. And when this mammy screamed, it looked like a man who was living the word of God before the people. That's the one that screamed to you. That sounded right. Why? He was an eagle to begin with. That's the way it is with the gospel or the word or the power of Jesus Christ. When a man has been predestinated to eternal life, he was predestinated to it. That's why he couldn't be happy with anything else. He had to have it. When a man has been predestinated to eternal life, he hears that true ring, scream of God. Nothing can keep him. Nothing can keep him from it. The church might say the days of miracles is past. Cluck, cluck, cluck. Stand here and eat this and stand here and eat that. That barnyard stuff won't do for him anymore. He lived an existence until then. He's gone. All the things are possible. He gets off the ground. So when he heard this mother, that wasn't the end of it. He hadn't beat his wings and flew up in the sky yet. Look what happens. He's hearing all these people saying, days of miracles is past. Cluck, cluck, cluck. Stand here and eat this. Stand here and eat that. That barnyard stuff won't do for him anymore. He's done hurt her. He is gone. All things are possible. He gets off the ground. That's why the matter with so many Christians today, they can't get their feet off the ground. The old mammy said, son, jump. You're an eagle. Come up here where I am. He said, mom, I never jumped in my life. He said, well, you jump. Now, he wants to jump really bad, but he's having the trouble. But God's bringing him through it. You said, well, you jump. You're an eagle. You, to begin with, you're not a chicken. So he made his first jump and flopped his wings. Didn't do too good, but he got off the ground. That's the way we do. We accept God by faith, by the written word. There's something in there that's that eternal life. You are predestinated to it. His grandpa and grandma was eagles. He was an eagle all the way back. Eagle don't mix with other things. He's not a hybrid, no. He's an eagle. Then, after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing. You have been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. You heard from that stage creation that you went around. You heard that down payment on resurrection. You have been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from the theophany. If this earthly body is dissolved, that's funny how he would go say that, isn't it? You heard from your theophany. At the same time, you're formed into the living image of the living God. If this earthly body is dissolved, we have one waiting. Amen. All right, so we got one more quote here I wanted to get. Sons and daughters was in God at the beginning. Now look, you got eternal life. You say, we believe it, that we got eternal life. Well, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. That's the only thing that is eternal is God. Then if you've got eternal life, that life that's in you always was. And you were in the loins of God before there was ever a world. He was in the loins of God. And when the Word itself, Jesus himself, is called the Word, remember, he's going to tell you how this took place. And when the Word itself, Jesus himself, is called the Word, and then St. John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in the loins of Jesus and went to Calvary with him. You died with him and you raised with him. And today we're sitting in heavenly places in him, filled with his Spirit, sons and daughters of God. Die with him, raised with him. Sure. Now when you can fellowship, now you can fellowship with him. You couldn't back there because you were just a word in him, a seed. Couldn't worship him, couldn't fellowship with him. You were just a word in him, a seed. But now he has manifested you. And now he wants you to fellowship with him. Then he come down, was made flesh, so that he could perfectly fellowship with you. See, he had to be made flesh to perfectly fellowship with you. See the perfect fellowship? Oh my, the deep mysteries of God. How wonderful, see? God could not fellowship in the Spirit, so God become man with us. Amen. Like I said again, I hope that wasn't too much all at once, but if you'll study that, I don't think it's hard. I don't think it's difficult. It's laying right there. And I enjoy it every time I do. I used to keep me a... I remember when I first started going, when I first left Duke Power years ago, I had a... I think it was when it happened. I can't remember. But when I left Duke Power, I had that little blue Honda Civic. And I drove 2 hours, and probably 2.5 hours, one way to Columbia for about 3 months. And we had... somebody had released those CD players, those little Walkman CD players, and they had a whole stack of them disc. And they, I tell you, my car wouldn't play them, and because it didn't have a CD player, and I got tired of them. I tried to get one of them things that would tune it. You could tune into a radio station, and then the further I drive, it'd get out, and it was just a mess. And so finally, I just got tired of it. And I got me a headphone thing, and I just stuck it in my ear. And so I kept one ear loose so I could hear horns, and I stuffed the other one. I listened to them tapes all the way down there and back. And then later on, when I started driving to Nucor, I drove down there and back every single day. I listened to just about every tape there was many times over. And I tell you, brother, all them times I listened to those tapes, I enjoyed them so much. But I didn't know nothing compared to what I know now. Nothing. Not that I didn't know anything at all, but I didn't know him like this. And if his word does that to us, how in the world would we stay away from it? If it's him in word form, how many people, Brother Bam said, if you, he gave the example that time of the soup. He said how upset they would get if somebody got a fly in their soup, and they would just fuss and fuss about it. He said, but they go in these churches and they stuff any old thing down their throat spiritually. They spiritually don't understand how precious it is. And so if you have loved ones, I don't think this world is much longer. You heard about the coup they tried in Russia there. They tried to go get Putin and didn't quite work out. But there's definitely stuff going on. I wouldn't doubt if the U.S. had something to do with that. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. It's all of Satan. It's Satan's kingdom. And it's coming to what it's coming to. And Brother Branham said, this is the scientific age. And they brought it on themselves. Because they worship science. Science is their God. I was telling somebody here a while back, they've been hunting for this thing called the Higgs boson. And it's named after two guys that were doing the research. One was Higgs and one was boson. And what this was they would look out into space and they would see all this stuff in space, and there wasn't enough planets and dirt and rocks. There wasn't enough of it for there to be enough gravitational force or whatever to hold it all in place. This wasn't enough. And so they got to thinking, there must be something there that we can't see. And they give it a name. And everything we see is, they call it matter. Well, they give this a name, they called it dark matter. And 50 years ago, they started looking for it. 50 years ago. It's been my 53 or 4 now. 50 years into it, both those guys are still alive when they built that big old super collider under the ground over there where they spin the atoms around and smash them. It's in Sweden somewhere. They've been hunting for that matter that's there that they can't see. And after 50 years, they proved it. They proved it through some math and stuff. And you should have seen those men. You would have think they was at a revival. They was crying and weeping and hugging each other and rejoicing over finding matter that they couldn't see. They had that much faith in something that they couldn't see that they committed their whole life to it. But Christ has shook everything in the world in front of their noses, and they don't have time of day for him. And in fact, if you mention his name, they're ready to kick you out right then. They don't even want to look at your face. And you talk about a world ripe for disaster. They have no respect for God. You remember when I was growing up in school, there was a little bit of respect in the 70s. There's no respect. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've brought us out. And Lord, if there's a child somewhere, Lord, your seed somewhere that needs to come out and you want to use us to bring them, then Lord, hasten our steps. Take us wherever, however, Lord. We don't care about this life. Lord, we're only concerned about your life, what you want to bring to pass, Lord. And so we're thankful. We thank you for helping us tonight. We pray that you'll take the word and you'll break it down to their hearts, each one, Lord. Let them see, Father, how great it is. The hour that we're living, Lord, now that we came around that stage of creation. But no more, Lord. We're going into that now. Bringing it to pass, Lord, you bringing your seed and transforming it, as you said so many times. We thank you for your truth. Lord, go with us now. Keep each brother and sister. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.